strangers, back like we never left. We are the lovely Cocoa Butter. I can't even talk. A lot like what happens to me when I try to be cute, when I try to flirt, and I just stumble on my own self. Jesus.
I didn't even notice.
You didn't notice?
No. Not until
I was trying to say Cocoa Butter Brown. Now I got to do it. We're going to do it like we didn't do it. Greetings, strangers. Back like we never left. We are the lovely Cocoa Butter Brown, Smooth Shea Butter, baby, Brit.
And D.
And welcome to another bonus episode of
It's a Strange World after all.
I don't know why I even did that, because all of it probably gonna make the episode anyway, but you know, just in case, I want to cut the first part out. This is the Pickety Pickety Podcast, where we discuss true crime cases, the supernatural, urban legends, conspiracy theories, and all the things that keep the world strange. However, for today's bonus episode, we are doing movie reviews of the horror, thriller, slasher, and true crime genre.
A Chicago graduate student working on a thesis about urban legends and folklore stumbles upon the legend of Candyman, the son of a slave who was lynched in the late 19th century for his relationship with the daughter of a wealthy white man. In today's bonus episode, we review the original Candyman, released October 16, 1992, directed by Bernard Rose. With a budget of roughly $9 million, the film grossed over $25 million at the box office. It was regarded as a contemporary classic of horror cinema and was followed by three sequels: Candyman, Farewell to the Flesh, 1995. So that one, I saw it, but I don't remember it because I think I've only ever seen it once. I just know it's in New Orleans.
I fell asleep. I fell asleep. And I know for a fact that I fell asleep because I was watching it with somebody else. I remember starting it and I remember them being in New Orleans. And then I remember, isn't she in that one too?
No.
No. No. Who's in that one again? That doctor? Somebody I thought was in there other than... Or maybe it was a character like him.
You may be thinking of, there's a similar character, one of the professors.
Yes, one of the, okay, yeah. So I remember the professor, but then I don't know anything else because I was like, ooh, I don't know, this is kind of slow.
I will say, even though I've only seen it once and I don't remember it, it's bad, but I don't think it's as bad as what it's being rated, like on all the sites, because I think it's like 20 something percent.
Ooh,
yeah,
now I want to watch it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, it's not good, but it's not that bad from what I remember. And this is only me trying to remember because I've only ever seen it once,
you
and it wasn't like, recent,
like Martin when he was talking about Pam Breath, and he was like, I mean, it's bad, don't get me wrong, it got an odor to it. But it wasn't that bad. It's not that bad.
That's
a little stinky.
How I feel.
It's a little PU, but.
And side note, that's how I feel about, was it Halloween Kills or Halloween Ends? What was the last one?
Ooh, Halloween Ends?
Ends.
Don't give me that.
Like, I feel like it was bad, but it wasn't as bad as everybody was making it out to be.
Yeah, I agree, D.
Because I get what they were doing.
Yeah. And then, you know, kind of trying to tie a bow, but giving it like where it could, could continue.
Yeah. So, yeah, we have that one. That was in 1995. And then you had Candyman, Day of the Dead, 1999.
Dia de los
which
Muertos.
Was trash. I did see that one.
Never seen it.
I didn't even know it existed. I saw it when we were living at La Costa. Downstairs. That's when I watched. That's when I was like, wait a minute, it's a third one? And then there was the direct sequel with the same name, released on August 27th, 2021, which was great.
It was great. The experience was great too, because we went for your birthday with a good number of our family to go see El Hombre de Azúcar, Sugar Man, Candy Man.
I could say one of my notes because we already mentioned it before.
Go ahead.
So, as far as the role of Candy Man, because I think you asked me, was it in a trivia or did we just say it? So, the role of Candy Man was intended for Eddie Murphy. Yes.
Oh, girl, I was about to joke. I was joking, but then.
No.
Serious. But yes, now I remember that because I think we brought up a Vampire in Brooklyn because I could never tell if it was supposed to be serious or like a spoof. Did we hash that out?
I think that was supposed to be a little bit of both, honestly. Because it's Eddie Murphy.
Even though I kind of had a little crush on him in that movie. I ain't going to lie.
That wig.
The wig did it for me.
Lord. So, two reasons they didn't go with him. One, they couldn't afford him. And two, either way, he was too short to play.
Oh.
Yeah.
How tall is he?
He's like
under
6 feet? Close to 6 feet, I think. But Tony Todd is like tall.
Yeah, they wanted him at least 6 foot, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess I could throw that one in there. And speaking of roles, so the lady that plays Helen, Virginia, she didn't think she would be able to take the role because she always thought she was allergic to bees. So she was like, well, I can't do it. So they were going to go with, at the time she was unknown, but they were going to go with Sandra Bullock. And I did not know that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But then they found out she was actually allergic to wasps. So she was like, oh, I can do it.
Yeah. I knew the allergic to bees. So, which brings me to my fun fact. They had to breed their own bees. And they did, what was it? Like specifically ones that didn't have like stingers.
Yeah. So, cause that was one of the notes I took.
Okay.
They were 12 hours old. So they looked like actual bees, but then their stingers weren't like they could still sting you, but it wouldn't be as bad. Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. Tony Todd is a trooper.
Oh, I know. Because when they had him in his mouth, I was like, nope.
Yeah.
I would have been like, uh-uh.
On the wall. Candyman. Oh, does it count if you're looking at your reflection or does it have to be in the mirror? Because I said it twice. And does it have to be in one setting? Or if I say it three more times, so if we say it multiple times in the one setting, does it count? Or do you have to say it like?
I mean, I think it has to be in the mirror. Okay. I think.
Because we finna say it all up and through this
episode.
We're
going to be saying it all up. I was just about to say all up and through.
Just don't look at your, I'm going to have nightmares.
We have to mention that this is my pick. So last time we did your pick, which was Jeepers Creepers. So go listen to that, please.
Yes.
And this one is my pick. And I would like to add.
I was going to cue you off.
Okay. We on the same page.
Yeah, I was doing it because last time I did mine, but I was like, she should have did, you know, she should have introduced it. So I was going to introduce. Jeez, I was going to say we are doing El Hombre de Azúcar para these cumpleaños. Her birthday, happy birthday. Cumpleaños, feliz cumpleaños. I'm saying it wrong.
Yes, I was just going to let you do it.
Feliz cumpleaños.
I was just looking like, how long is she going to do this? Because loud and wrong.
Loud and wrong. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you.
Finally, we get to do your little rusty movie.
And Brittany is a Candyman hater.
I'm not a hater.
Come for me if you want to, but this is in my top five.
It's the fact that I feel like, go ahead and say it's show number one. Ain't the show number one.
I have to think about it, but
say it with your
chest. I'm pretty sure it will be. Because, like, honestly, I was just thinking, I was like, I've never thought to rate them before we started doing this. Yeah. So I never really thought about, like, what would be in my top five, top. But this may be number one for me. Your face. You are a hater.
I'm not a hater. I love the vision. I love Tony Todd. I love, like, what it stands for. I just, top, I don't know. But that's, you know, I love that for you. You got to do it. And that's the first one we couldn't get away with watching free, but it was for you. So that's fine. We had to rent it. Guys, if you want to watch it, you're going to have to rent it.
And then I base it off of a number of things, because this is like literally one of the first horror movies that I've ever seen.
Okay.
It may be the first. Oh, no, it was it. But
I was going to say, I feel like what Candyman is to you is what it is to me. Because it, the original, will forever be. And it might be my number.
And that one is my number two.
Okay. Well, damn, now we're going to have to do
it.
Yes. Because what I should have did, probably did for my birthday. But that's okay. Life happens. But yeah, maybe. Because yeah, it is like mine.
And then this is one of those things where, as the older I got and the more that I looked into it, the more I'm like, okay.
And because it's tied to true crime too. Well, that's what I would think, knowing what I know about you.
Yeah. And also me being, I don't even, well, I guess I would, the term woke for me is a little, but.
Oh.
For them to be doing all this back then.
Oh, yeah.
And you got to think, too. We are African American, and he is literally the first Black horror villain.
Yeah, that's what I mean when I said I understand what it means to, like, cinema and, like,
Black culture. Yeah, and the culture.
Yeah. No, I'm here for it. I just, as a kid, didn't care about that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I appreciate that now.
Oh, now that
and
you
that's
older.
What ma- gotcha. Yeah, and that's what makes me like it even more. Because gotcha. I've always, this is one of those movies I just randomly watch. It'll be, it'll be Christmas Eve, and I'll be up there watching Candyman.
That's funny. So, meanwhile, flip the channel. I'm like, oh, Candyman. I'm sorry, horror community, don't come for me. I like it. I do. I can appreciate it, honestly, like you said. No, when I get my rating, I can appreciate it now as an adult. I'll give you that. As a kid, though, I was like, D, you like this? I don't like it. And I didn't like seeing us like that, because you got to remember, like I knew that, like, people lived like that, but for me, that wasn't, like, my everyday. So, like, watching stuff like that, like, even Good Times, I liked the show
and
Good Times.
And that was
but...
my everyday. Not to that extent, but.
No, yeah. I don't know, it hurt my heart.
Yeah.
I should be like, yeah. I can't watch this because it hurts my heart.
And then I feel like for me, it was more of I could relate to it. So.
Fair.
Like, living in the, I don't want to say projects, but we were pretty much.
Yeah.
So. So here we go.
Here we go. Once again.
One more time. Everybody's
yeah.
You don't even know the word.
Here we go. That's, here we go. Just got the flow. I can't even tell you who sang
it. NSYNC.
NSYNC. Oh, yeah. NSYNC has got the flow.
Yes. Okay. Lord.
Let's get into it. All right. Helen Lyle, who is played by Virginia Masden, she is working with her friend Bernadette Bernie Walsh, played by, I believe it's Cassie Lemons, or is it Cassie Lemons? Cassie Lemons, not to be confused with Rachel True, because when I was a kid, I thought they were the same person.
Honestly, well, they do look alike.
They look alike, especially for a kid.
But yeah, because I was going to say I had only ever seen her in Candyman. I don't remember seeing her in anything else. So she wasn't really like on my mind like that.
Yeah, I had only seen her in Candyman and The Craft. as a kid. That's what I'm saying. Like, for me, they were the same person. I was like, oh, wait, that's Lady
from
the
I think
Crab.
It's the hair, because it's the same color and same.
And then their skin tone.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Okay, they are working on their master's degree thesis involving modern folklore and like urban legends. Helen and Bernadette have been interviewing like a bunch of people about various types of urban legends. And at the start of the film, there is a woman and she's telling a story about Candyman. He's a mythical being who has a hook instead of a right hand. The legend goes that Candyman will appear behind you, much like Bloody Mary, if you say his name five times while looking in the mirror, a lot like the Bloody Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Urban legend. Clara, played by Mariana Elliott, dares her, I'm calling him her side piece because that was not her main boyfriend. She was trying to get her little piece of bad boy pie. So her side piece, Billy, who is played by Ted Raimi, she dares him to repeat Candyman's name five times in front of the mirror. So you see them in the mirror, they repeat his name. Billy only repeats it four times. She's like, okay, well, go downstairs. And she's left alone in the bathroom. And for whatever freaking reason, like, I literally was like, girl, why? You wasn't even focused on the agenda. The agenda was supposed to be getting butt, but she just felt compelled to say it a fifth time. And then she turns off the light and right behind her, and I did jump like I ain't never seen this movie before. Candyman, played by the Tony Todd.
Legend
appears and kills her with his hook.
Good old Tony Todd. You know, he was in Tales from the Hood 3. I think I told
never
you
seen
that.
It.
Yeah. I didn't even know it existed. I had watched it the other day. Well, not the other day, like a while ago.
Mm.
But I was like, yeah.
Oh no.
But
we need to do the first
but
one.
But yeah. I know. Another thing though, I think because we lived where we lived, I remember when we lived in Oak Cliff, because it was all of us used to live in the same complex. You were like a baby though, but
I got you.
Literally almost, not almost every day, but it happened a lot. Casey would lock us in. Like, we would literally go in the bathroom and say Candyman in the mirror, and Casey would turn off the lights and lock us in there, and we would be in there screaming. And we fell for it every time. So that's, I think, funny. Like, even growing up, it was always something to do with Candyman.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it's more of a...
It's a nostalgia thing.
Yeah, nostalgia, yeah.
Yeah.
Later, Helen is reviewing the recorded conversation about the people telling this story. And a cleaning lady, she's at the university, and a cleaning lady hears the recording and she's, you know, paying attention to it. Her name is Henrietta Mosley, played by Barbara Alston.
Barbara.
I was going to say Barbara gonna mess me up every time now.
And now I don't even think about Fabo. I think about our cousin, Shantae.
I know.
Because she was yelling it in Vegas. That mess was funny.
The whole time.
I didn't even notice he did that. How could you not?
Well, I didn't notice he did it through the whole song.
Oh,
I just thought
okay.
It was at the end.
That was funny.
But that's funny. Oh, my God. So, yeah, I can never look at Barbara the same.
Mm-mm.
So she calls in another cleaning lady, Kitty Calver, played by Serena C. Grant, who tells Helen about the murders that took place in Cabrini Green. The murders that took place in Cabrini Green, the low-income housing project where she lives. So among those murders was a woman named Ruthie Jean, who called the police multiple times claiming someone was attempting to break into her apartment through the bathroom mirror.
This is a real life horror that inspired the film. You can hear more about it in our episode, because we did an episode about this titled A Strange Breaking and Entering. Ruthie Mae McCoy is the real life Ruthie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because in the movie, yeah, her name was Ruthie Jean. And then mm-hmm. I think Vanessa Williams, I forgot what her character's name is, the black woman. I think her last name may have been McCoy. So they're like putting everything. Yeah, yeah.
It's Anne Marie McCoy is her name.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And Vanessa Williams, I just want to say this, even though we haven't gotten to her yet. She looks the same. You remember when she was in the remake? I was like, wait a minute.
Yes. I was about to say, yeah, I just recently saw her in something.
Still.
It really don't.
Yeah, because this was 92.
Mm-hmm.
The people of Cabrini Green have attributed the deaths to Candyman because they think all of the victims were murdered with a hook.
Yes.
Which, again, I don't think they were. I think that was just word. You know how everything gets out.
Yes.
Like playing into the urban legend.
Yes. And can I just say that mm-hmm. who was it? Not Kitty. No, yeah, Kitty Calvert. She gets my award because she just was great. What did she say? She was like, "But you ain't heard this from me." Or what she say? This is. But I forgot, this from me, that was funny. She looked at her like
it's crazy because like the whole movie, like they'll tell you what happened, but they'll be like, but you, because all of them were like, they don't want to say his name. So they'll be like, we'll tell you what happened, but you ain't heard nothing from me. You can't.
But you didn't hear from me.
What in the world, black folks?
Love us.
I know. And speaking of. The only thing that really got on my nerves was the way they were talking, like the black people. Because I was like, black folks don't talk like that. But then I had to think about it. They talked like that in the 70s.
Oh.
If you notice, like Vanessa Williams, mainly her, like how she was talking.
Mm-hmm.
When she was like, you can't be breaking into people's apartments and things. And I was like, wait, why? Who's talking like that? But they did used to talk like that in the 70s.
Jive talking.
Yeah. It I was like, what in the world?
That extreme, though.
Yeah.
Like Pootie Tang. No, I'm just kidding. It wasn't like that.
I was going to say, don't do that. So them mentioning the murders led Helen to look in the newspapers, like the archive newspapers, and she finds the victims. And she also saw that her apartment building was designed exactly like Cabrini Green. And that's because, and this is another true fact,
mm-hmm.
it was intended to look like that because they scrapped the idea when they realized the location was too desirable. So they're like, okay, let's put the black folks over here. And because it's literally, Cabrini Green is not there anymore. But if you look at it back then,
mm-hmm.
it was the projects, and then literally on the other side of the highway, it was like high rises and
yep.
all kind of stuff. So Helen also knows that the units in her building are connected through the medicine cabinets in the bathrooms, which they were back then. I don't know why.
Ruthie Mae McCoy. I don't know why either. That's-
yeah. So when you remove the medicine cabinets, it reveals a small space that links the apartments together. And Helen is like, okay, so it must be the same as like this in Cabrini Green. That could be an explanation because the urban legend is saying he's coming through the mirror. So she's right. thinking, okay, this could be an explanation. It could just be a regular person doing this.
Okay, so Helen and Bernadette go to visit Cabrini Green. They find, after being, what is it, heckled or harassed on their way into
yes.
the... that was like, you the police? You the police? It's like, we're not the police. You the police. Y'all look like police. after the harassment, they end up finding Ruthie Jean's old apartment. They test out Helen's theory about the medicine cabinets. And on the other side of the medicine cabinet is like this strange layer. Bernadette is smart and stays on the other side of the medicine cabinet.
Yes.
But Helen was like, you know what? We got to do this for science. And finds the layer, finds the like elaborate graffiti style artwork on the wall. There's holes all on the wall. And the artwork is depicting Candyman. So you see like a large man's head, and then like the hole for the mouth is where you walk through. She also notices an altar with candy left behind as an offering. Helen comes back and she tells Bernadette, I want to stay. I want to take more pictures. But Bernadette is like, nah, fam, like we got to skedaddle. This is not the type of neighborhood. You know, this looks sketch. We got to go. So Helen and Bernadette are on their way out when they end up meeting who Dee was just talking about, Anne Marie McCoy. And she is played by Vanessa E. Williams. It took me forever to realize that.
And
they
when
were
I
two
was
Vanessa.
Talking earlier, I was like, should I say something? But then I was like, they don't even look alike. So I mean, same name, but it's clearly two completely different people.
I my whole life thought that they were you could have just let it slide. Like we could have just moved past it. My whole entire life.
I heard that one.
I thought that there was a misprint on her name. And then I thought for a while that Google was being racist. So I was like, they're not
colorist.
Look alike.
Oh, yeah. Racist and colorist.
Yeah. A little bit of both.
I was going to say one is, yeah.
Vanessa E. Williams.
This is the Vanessa Williams we're talking about is the one from Soul Food.
From
not
Soul
the,
Food.
Not Candyman. What was she? Miss America or something?
Yeah. Yeah, not the one that sings. And even though I think, anyway, moving on. She is the neighbor of the deceased Ruthie. And Anne Marie is kind of like, who are y'all? Like, why are y'all here? She's concerned. Also, there's a white person in the ghetto, in the hood. And she's like, usually that just means nothing but trouble. There could be nothing good from this. And eventually, after talking with them a little bit, she decides to let them into her apartment. They meet Anne Marie's baby boy, Anthony. Oh, and also they let you know just, I guess, how much Anne Marie loves him. Like she wants to provide a better life for him. She mentions even trying to get him out of the projects.
So the director, he said, you know, of course, this is Chicago. This is Cabrini Green, but he was saying he wanted to, because of course they had the gang members and stuff in there, but he wanted to shed light on people who were actually working towards something, you know. That's why they decided to make her character that way, because they didn't want it to be all negative. Yeah.
Got you.
Yeah. And this was actually, these scenes were shot on location, so they were actually in Cabrini Green, and they had to have, like, they were saying how Tony Todd and Virginia Madsen were pretty much not terrified, but they were scared. So they had to have, like, security at all times.
Yeah.
And the only reason they were able to shoot there was because the gang members were actually gang members. Like, the gang members were like, nah, y'all can't shoot here unless we're in the movie. So they made them extras. And the last day, they ended up shooting up the van, the production van. So there's that. I don't know. I think it was just a random person that didn't have nothing to do with what was going on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It wasn't the people who were actually extras.
Okay. I was going to say, because they was probably like, mama, I made it.
I know. So after this, Helen is at dinner with her husband, Trevor Lyle, played by Xander Berkeley, and a few of Trevor's colleagues, so Bernadette and Philip Purcell, played by Michael Culkin. And this is the guy you were thinking of, the similar character in the second one. Yeah. He just so happens to be a folklore expert, and Helen, she's, you know, trying to reel him in to talk about Candyman. And then he was a little condescending.
He was.
I was like, well, dang. But I feel like to a certain extent, like all of those like smarter, like if you're like geniuses, I think they're all a little condescending towards.
Yeah. I don't know that they mean to be, but they definitely come across like simple human.
But he was basically, he was trying to be though, because he was telling her he already did an essay about Candyman. So.
But he did. He was just telling his truth. He was like, I already did it. Tell you my truth. Let me tell you something you might not know here too while you're at it.
So that's when we get Candyman's backstory. So Philip is saying that he was the son of a slave who became wealthy due to a successful invention. Candyman grew up well-schooled and was a renowned artist who was in high demand among the wealthy to paint their portraits. But he ended up having an affair with the daughter of one of his wealthy white clients, and she got pregnant, so her dad basically put out a hit on him. So he rallied the townspeople. They got him. They cut off his right hand, which was his painting hand. And they stripped him naked and smeared him with honey from the honeycomb of the hive of angry bees. And he was killed as a result of multiple bee stings. And Philip is saying that all of this happened on the site where Cuprini Green is located.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
All for the white she-devil. No, I'm just kidding.
Wait, I was going to say, because that's another misconception, though, because the director was like, that's not even the point of the movie. The point is him getting revenge.
Yes, I understand.
But it's another one of those things where it just so happens to be where the black people are. So it's like,
Yeah.
But it's not really, it's about her, but not really.
No, there's like a whole, because not the screenplay, but like.
It's based off of like a short story.
Yeah, I was going to say the short story of what it's based on. And then there's undertones like about like the racism behind it, and like the systematic. So no, I got it.
Yeah, because that was like another thing that made me once I got older, because what they went through with like the script and just trying to make sure nobody was offended. They met with the NAACP, told them to go over the script to see if they needed to make any changes or what can we do better, you know. So they to me, they did their research.
Yeah, it was very intentional.
Yeah. And I can't say the same for the other two.
I can imagine that it was just more so about trying to ride the coattail of success. So I guess Helen, after hearing this, is even more intrigued. So she decides to go back to the Cabrini Green projects on her own. So she was going to go and check on Anne-Marie. She sees that she's not home, but she ends up meeting a young boy named Jake, played by DeJuan Guy. He's dishing out the tea, honey. He tells her that another death in the project.
He was.
Yeah. Was attributed to Candyman. It was actually trigger warning, which the whole movie is a trigger warning. But it was actually the brutal castration of a young boy who went into the public men's restroom, and he was met by an attacker who cut off his genitals, resulting in his death. And then Jake takes Helen to the site. She decides she's going to go into the bathroom, even though that bathroom looked terrible.
Man.
It looked like it needed to be condemned. She goes, she takes pictures, and then she is approached by a group of young thugs in exclamation points is what I'm going to do. I mean, exclamation points in quotations. Is how I'm going to say that. They come in. One man, played by Terrence Riggins, approaches her and announces that he is Candyman. He has on a long coat. He is carrying a large hook, which he uses to knock her unconscious. I personally kind of felt like I probably needed to suspend my disbelief because I don't know. It didn't seem believable to me. Like, I just didn't believe that they would have done that to a white woman in that area. But I mean, I guess they don't care if it's a gang.
I was going to say it was brutal back then. So okay. I think they would have.
But you get what I'm saying? Like, I would feel like some people, you just know, like, oh, we not finna mess with them because we got a lot to lose.
But then it's like, they don't care because they're like, why is she here?
Okay.
Like, what is she doing here?
Okay, that's fair. Knocks her unconscious. Later you see, and this is probably one of the moments that's not supposed to be funny.
I know.
There's a police lineup. And she has to identify her assailant. What was they saying? Was it, I'm Candyman, bitch, or bitch?
No, I heard you was looking for Candyman, bitch.
I heard you. So they're going down the lineup, and it was just like, I heard you was looking for Candyman, bitch. That's how I would have said it. I heard you was looking for Candyman. Bitch. Why did they choose that? Man. Of all the lines that they had to go down and repeat, that had to be the line.
Because that's the only thing he said.
I know, but why did he?
I mean, hey, she was looking for Candyman. She really was.
She was looking for Candyman, bitch. I was cracking up.
oh my god.
Okay. She found it though. She found the right tone, the right cadence. She found her assailant. The detective that's helping her, Frank Valento, played by Gilbert Lewis, he informs Helen that the man who beat her up was suspected of the previous murders. He had been using the legend of Candyman to frighten the residents of Cabrini Green into silence, and Helen's testimony is going to put him away. Helen meets Jake there at the police station, and she thanks him for his help. And she explains to him basically what the detective said, that the person that attacked her was also responsible for everything else that was going on. He's human, and so therefore Candyman is not real. It is just a legend.
Mm-hmm. Quick fun fact, the guy who played the gang member, the dude Terrence, he actually, I think he ended up going to prison because he was like in some kind of a heist, like where he was stealing like Picasso's or something. It was just random.
What?
Yeah, but I mean, he's out now, but I think he like wrote a book and I think he's doing better now. So yeah, I just thought that was just random.
That is random.
Yeah. And I think he may be an acting coach, if I'm not mistaken.
The guy?
Yeah. I mean, he basically like turned his life around.
I heard you be looking for Candyman, bitch.
Yeah, him.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Because he was in other stuff. I've only ever seen him in Candyman, but he was actually in a lot of other stuff.
Okay.
Okay. Sometime later, Helen and Bernadette, they were talking, and Helen, she was basically saying that the fact that the two murders, which it was black victims, went unnoticed, and where her assault basically caused the lockdown of Cabrini Green, just because she was white and that didn't sit right with her.
As it shouldn't.
I know. So Bernadette, she gives her the slides, you know, from her camera. She's walking to her car after Bernadette gave her the slides.
Mm-hmm.
And this description, she's confronted by a tall black man wearing a long coat.
I mean, that's what she's confronted by.
But that's funny.
You got to paint the pictures.
Oh, man. And he called, like, this was funny to me because, like, he was calling her name and she was like, yes. I was like, why would you answer him?
Because who calling me? And it was, I think it's almost too, like, a hypnotic thing because they wanted him to be, like, a romantic.
Fun fact, all of her scenes with him, she was actually hypnotized because they wanted her to be in a trance. So there you go.
Yep.
And he also said, because the director, he was tired of all of the screaming that the main girls do. So yes. He wanted...
it was a choice. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you, if I had synced me a little Tony Todd, and I promise y'all, I'm not thirsty. Because I know with the Jeepers Creepers and the Justin Long, but mainly the Jeepers Creepers, that y'all think, you know, Brittany is thirsty. But I'm sorry, I can't help a good, tall, dark, handsome. And then his voice.
Man. His voice, yeah.
Hello. Oh, I have a fun fact then, too, that I'll throw. So the director had both Virginia and Tony Todd take ballroom dancing classes so they would have more of, like, a romantic connection.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. So there we go.
Yeah.
And then I was like, they did have, like, good chemistry.
Yeah.
She's confronted by Candyman, a tall black man wearing a coat and with a hook for a hand. Mm-hmm. And that's when she's like, oh, this is Candyman. He's like, be my victim. I was like, Lord.
Yes. Yes, Tony. Yes. I mean, Candyman. Candyman.
Man, that is hilarious.
Girl.
Man. He tells Helen that because she exposed the real killer at Cabrini Green, that she caused a sudden rift in his world. The belief in him by hundreds of people is what allows him to exist. And I was going to save this at the end for a theory, but since they brought it up here. So there was a theory, a guy, I think he was on Reddit. He was saying that Candyman is a tulpa. And then I was like, that makes so much sense.
Explain it for the peeps.
A tulpa is, it could be an object, but it's mainly like a being that, I wrote it down. Oh, it's created. It's basically something that's manifested. So if people are like constantly talking about something or then they believe in it so much, it actually becomes real. So he was saying that Candyman was a tulpa. And I was like, oh, okay. Because the first time I heard about a tulpa was, of course, on Supernatural, because they had an episode about a tulpa.
They sure did.
And that episode was based in Richardson.
Texas? So,
yes, Texas. Texas. But yeah, I was like, it makes sense that he's a tulpa.
It does make sense.
He could be. Yeah.
It's pretty cool. And if you are someone who is into like spirituality and stuff like that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. They're just the concept of that is cool because.
Yeah, because it comes from like a Tibetan, some type. It's basically meditation. It comes from meditation.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So you're constantly thinking about something. Like Candyman is constantly on everybody's mind. So now. Mm-hmm.
You manifested
it. She done brought all this attention to it.
Yep.
And made it even more.
Yep. Think about your fears and things like that. You are manifesting that reality, not like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I think the same could be said about Freddy Krueger, technically, even though he's only in your dreams, but he needs you to be scared of him. He needs you to think about him. He needs you
Jeepers
in order for him to. Yeah.
It. See, that is why, like, when people are like, why do you like horror films? There are specific types of horror and thriller films that I like. Mm-hmm. I don't mindlessly, well, except for, like, Killer Clowns in Outer Space, but that's something different. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's a totally different thing. That's campy. But stuff like that that's supposed to be, like, serious, there are usually underlying messaging.
Yes. Yes.
Good storylines. Good. Yeah.
Yeah. Because she brought attention to it and she did expose the guy, now people are like not believing in him. So he's saying that he's in danger of not even existing anymore. His plan is he's gonna kill Helen so it can like start the legend all over again. And so he's telling her all this with his little voice and she she just fainted.
Okay. Yes.
I was like, okay. But I was like, that was so funny to me when she answered him when he was calling her name. Because I would, if she was right there at her car, I would have gotten the car and took off. Because who is this?
You don't know. You had to turn and see. You had to. No. She heard it. It was melodic. No. It was melodic. It was like the Pied Piper. She was like, yes. Who goes there?
That is funny. That would have left.
I obviously am not surviving films because I'm answering phones. I'm not hanging up on the lady on the phone. And I'm talking to Tony Todd, god dang it.
See, and I feel like I would make the right decisions, but I still wouldn't make it. I probably get like to the end and then I'll probably be the last one gone.
So when Helen, after being in her trance, her candy man trance, she comes to, she's a little disoriented and she realizes that for whatever reason, she is back at Cabrini Green and she is in Anne Marie's apartment. She is covered in blood and she hears Anne's hysterical scream. She's screaming hysterically.
She was going through it.
In the other room. Yeah, she's going through. And then for whatever freaking reason, Helen, she sees a meat cleaver on the ground and she picks it up. I guess she was like, well, I don't know what's going on in the other room, so I might have to defend myself. But because I know how people can spin stuff, I see that I'm covered in blood. I'm not about to touch this meat cleaver. What if that's what they use to kill somebody? And now my DNA is all over it. So I guess just a different, you know.
But then again, she's disoriented. She don't know what's going on because she was in one place, and now all of a sudden she's somewhere else.
I don't know. I just don't think that I, even disoriented, would have picked up a meat cleaver. Unless I thought I was dreaming. I wouldn't have touched it. You know what I mean?
Because
I'm covered in blood. Somebody screaming. Like, she obviously ain't dying. So, well, I don't know. She did kind of sound like she was dying. So, I don't know. She then sees, and I'm sorry for the dog lovers out there, trigger warning, she sees Anne-Marie's dog has been decapitated. You see the head. She sees more blood. There's blood everywhere. And then she finally opens the door, and she sees Anne-Marie screaming over her son Anthony's empty crib, which is also covered in blood. She's like, Anne-Marie! She was like, she finally sees Helen and she sees her approaching her with a meat cleaver and she loses it. She automatically believes Helen to be responsible. So she goes anger. She attacks her. She is about to kill her. And then Helen has to hit her with the meat cleaver. I had it. I'm here. Cleaver. And she ends up wounding her. And then that is like as the police breaks through the door and they surround Helen in the apartment. And I'm sorry, America, but I kind of was just like, how does it feel to have? You know what I mean? Like for the shoe to be on.
Yes.
Like, because she didn't. She's completely innocent. She did well. We think she's completely innocent. She, you know. She was dealing with the sugar man, the candy man. So
sugar man,
a lumber to that sukai. So I don't know. I really kind of was like, how does that feel? Stick it to the woman.
You love to see it.
Sucks for you, but it, you know, how are you gonna talk yourself out of this one, Helen?
Oh man. So now they're at the precinct and Detective Valento he's going in on Helen. And obviously everybody thinks that she's responsible for the attack and they think she kidnapped Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
It's late. And so, you know, they get their little one phone call. So she's calling her husband and he ain't even answering the phone. Mm-mm. And she was like, wait, what time is it? And I think they were like, what they say, like 3 a.m?
It's 3 o'clock. It's 3 a.m. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he ain't there. Mm-hmm. He did show up the next day, though. Well, not the next day, same day, but later. And her lawyer tells her that the only reason they released her because they think they'll find Anthony's body. And then she'll be charged with first degree murder. Mm-hmm. And he thinks it won't stick. Helen is just shook. She don't know what's going on. But what she does know is that Trevor wasn't at home.
Girl, when she called him. She said, hold up, wait a minute. Trev, let's talk about it.
But of course, he just said he was asleep. But come on, sir.
He did not even care. He did not even care. Like, he didn't even know what was going on and was just gone. Or maybe he did. Maybe he did and was like, I'll catch you tomorrow. I'll get it tomorrow. It's my time. It's my opportunity.
Man, Trevor is trash.
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 So the following day, Helen, she's probably, you know, on house. Is she on house arrest? Or is she just laying low? She's chilling. I mean, she chilling.
She was just laying low.
Oh, girl. She chilling. They're like, don't go nowhere, Helen. She is looking at the slides from the photos that she took at Cabrini Green again. And in one of the shots, she sees Candy Man standing behind her. She knows for a fact he was not there when she took the shots. So then, I don't know if she's having an existential crisis or if he is actually there, but he appears to her again, emerging from her medicine cabinet. I think I jumped then too. I don't know why. I was kind of jumpy today.
I did. I know I did.
Yeah, I was like, hold up. Wait,
I was too. And I was like, I've seen this movie millions of times and I was still jumping.
Okay. So, or yeah, maybe I do appreciate it more as an adult.
Yeah, I was going to say, thinking about it now, how everything was so intentional, even the music, watching that as a kid, it's creepy.
Yeah, I will say the scoring.
That is creepy.
The scoring is. So he emerges from her medicine cabinet and then he's kind of just everywhere all at once. She can't escape him. Here he comes with his hypnotic wooing again, and he's talking to her, Helen, and he's saying, you belong to me, and that she too can be immortal if she just surrenders to him. I wish y'all could see the dramatics. I'm serving, honey.
And I was like, Helen. I couldn't even see because you was frozen.
Oh, I'm giving, girl. I'm so serving. I am the moment. I'm swaving. Helen again, because she under hypnosis, the actress is. She is paralyzed, shook with fear. Bernadette, poor Bernadette is just, what do you call it? Collateral damage. She comes to see her friend. She got flowers and everything. She knocks on the door. Helen tries to warn her not to come in, to leave. But it's almost like sleep paralysis is what I would like. She couldn't do anything. She couldn't move. She was literally in a trance. And Bernadette enters anyway and is killed by El Hombre de Azúcar, Candyman. I don't even think that's how you say it. Or would it be El Hombre de Dulce? Probably Dulce, huh?
Probably.
Maybe.
I thought you was right. I thought maybe you had asked Maria or something.
No. First of all, girl, I've been learning Spanish. I'm saying just Sugar Man in Spanish. The Sugar Man in Spanish. So, but Dulce,
shout out
candy.
To Girl That's Scary.
Shout out to Girl That's Scary.
Yes. Oh, did you have anything else? No.
No, just it was a shame because Bernadette was cute too and she was going places. She was making googly eyes at the little ugly white man. No, he not ugly. He just was not my type in the beginning. Because I said people like ugly. He was not ugly. He just wasn't. Like, she could do better than him, but I don't know. She just had a bright future for herself and now she just gone. I think that was another reason why I did not mess with this movie as a kid because I was like, why somebody black had to die? Like, I don't know. I was just like, oh, man. She ain't deserve this.
But then, again, in any other horror movie, would it be a problem?
No. But
because they're killing people who don't have nothing to do with what's going on. So
that's true. I don't know. I get mad about that, too. I like when people who deserve, well, That makes me sound cruel. But you know how there are like characters that they set up for you not to feel bad about them dying?
Yeah. I like when like those in Barbarian.
Yeah.
And to me, in this movie, the husband, of course. Yeah. And then the gang leader.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah. So after this happens, Helen, I guess she passed out again and she woke up and Trevor was entering the room and he saw her. She had blood all over her and she was holding a knife and she's asking him to, I don't know why I'm laughing, asking him to help her because it was just so dramatic. I was like,
yeah. I mean, wouldn't you be dramatic? Shit.
Yeah.
Help.
Yeah.
Help me. I'm being haunted by a black man, by a tall black man in a coat with a hook for a hand. He'd be having bees and shit.
That's the point. This is how scary. This is supposed to be how white, because they were playing on white people's fear of black men, basically.
Ah.
So that's another thing that they thought about. Yeah.
I like it even more. Okay. You just adding. Keeping my scorecard.
You are funny. Okay. So in the next scene, Helen is handcuffed to a gurney and she's being sedated. Somehow, she breaks free from her police guard and she runs in the other room. And that's when she sees Bernadette's body.
Lord.
And as she's being taken away, this was another scene where I was like, Lord, his voice. She hears his voice and, you know, she's just begging him not to hurt the baby, Anthony.
Yeah.
Because I was like, before I knew that she was hypnotized, I would always be like, why is she looking like that?
Oh.
Because the way she was looking to me. I don't know. I didn't. I just, and then this is coming from a younger me.
Oh.
I'm like, why is she looking like that?
Yeah, because even today watching it, I was like, oh, I think she is supposed to be like under his spell. Was what I was thinking, then found out that she was hypnotized. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. Maybe you never been in love. Like,
Lord. she's taken to an institution and she's strapped down and then they sedate her. And so they leave her alone and Candyman is like, hovering over her.
He floated on in.
He did.
Like, girl, what's up? What's happening?
She was screaming for help and then the medics came in and that part made me laugh too, how he just floated down under the because it was so slow.
Y'all, it's him.
That's all I was like, y'all didn't see him. Because when they opened the door, you could see part of his coat.
His coat! I thought that was just me.
Oh, man.
They probably weren't going to see his ass anyway. He was just doing it for effect.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's funny.
For the dramatics.
You thought.
But yeah. They didn't see him. They just saw Helen fighting for her life.
Fighting for her life. Okay, so Hella. I was about to say hell eventually, I think was what it was. Let me slow down. I'm tired. I'm hungry. Okay.
Same.
Helen is eventually taken to see Dr. Burke, played by a Stanley DeSantis, I think is how you pronounce his name.
Mm-hmm.
He informs her that he is working for her defense. Helen learns, oh, I'm sorry, that's what I was going to say, because they're trying to make sure to see if she's even fit to stand trial.
Mm-hmm.
And then Helen learned that she's actually been in the facility for an entire month under heavy sedation. She was shook. I was shook. I was like, a month, girl? Yeah, it's a month. He's basically trying to get her to talk, and they talk about Candyman. Helen is finally like, okay, well, I guess maybe I can use him. And she calls for him. She looks in a mirror and she says his name 5 times. So Candyman. That was only 4 times.
Oh, Candyman. I mean, we done said it. I don't know how many times.
I definitely wasn't going to say it the fifth time. I'm scared to even say it consecutively. But that song, okay. She says it five times. And Candyman comes in. He kills Dr. Burke, slashes Dr. Burke, actually. And then he slashes Helen's bondage. He sets her free and he levitates through a window and disappears. Helen escapes. She escapes through a window. She goes into another room and then she puts on a nurse disguise. She knocks a nurse unconscious, takes her outfit, her uniform, and then is able to escape the hospital. Can I say this has nothing to do with nothing, but Helen's hair is luxurious. It's great. Like, it's not long.
Oh, yeah.
It's short, but like the curls be curly, like they be bouncing. I was like, for you to be like, maybe I am crazy. They is moving all around. Like, she has some good hair volume to have been in there for a month. Let's talk about it.
Oh, yeah.
Her face was beat. She didn't look like she had. She did. Thank God she did not look like what she had been through.
What she been through?
Yes.
That's funny.
Yes.
Lord. So, after escaping, Helen goes home and she sees that Trevor has moved
raggedy.
In.
Raggedy.
Go ahead, sorry. This was the girl from the beginning, right? That he was, moved her in. The student, Stacy, played by Carolyn Lowry.
I think. Because I know somebody with
that
last name.
Because I want to say like the seasoning. And on top of that, they're in the process of redecorating the apartment. And it was so ugly. I was pink.
Ugly.
Really?
It was ugly. But it had only been a month, though. Y'all, this is your wife.
Yeah.
And it only a month had passed. That's crazy. He was like, well, I know I ain't going to never see her again. Like, in an apartment, she ain't going to never let her out. He was, they ain't going to never let her out. So.
Yeah. Stacy is shook. She was getting on my nerves. I was like, what is she doing? Because when she was crying, I thought she was laughing at first.
Oh, she was like,
I was like, they could have got somebody else.
They could have.
You know, she's understandably hurt. And she's like telling him, like, you know, you were all I had. And, you know, how could you do this to me? The whole time that she's saying this, Stacy is crying.
Mm-hmm.
But then she left. She ended up just leaving. So
I'd have killed them if I were Helen.
Wait, why? Did...
You might
as well. It took me a minute.
I said I'd have killed. You might as well. They already think you done stole a baby or killed a baby. They think you done killed Bernadette. You could probably get away with insanity. So I just would have just, you know, or at least, you know, attacked them.
Honestly, I thought she was, though. I thought she was going to kill him, but no, she left. Mm-mm. Good for her. So, but then she didn't have anywhere to go. So she ended up going back to Cabrini Green and she's looking for Candy, like his lair, looking for his lair. Helen is looking for Candyman and he just there asleep. So he was tired.
I was like, well, you need sleep. You are an idea, but you need sleep. I'm confused.
It made me think of that, was it Marlo from Housewives of Atlanta? When she was like, today drained me. That's what it made me think of, because he was really asleep.
Big chilling. He didn't stir when she walked in. He was just
he was tired. Then she tried to kill him, because she tried to stab him with a... Mm-hmm. That's what woke him up.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's, again, trying to... I guess I don't even want to say seduce, but that's kind of the vibe you get from him. But he's basically trying to convince her to let him kill her, saying that her death will be exquisite.
Exquisite.
And that she and then that she'll be immortal. And then this is when he tried to kiss her.
Come on.
And he had all those bees in his mouth. Ugh. Real bees at that.
Real bees.
Real bees. And they are coming out of his mouth. And then they go on to Helen. She's like under his spell again. It's crazy how he negotiated that if he got stung, he needed $1,000 for each bee sting. Yeah. But then I feel like, I think she got stung too, but I don't think she negotiated anything like that.
I don't know, but he got, because that was on top of what he was already making. And mm-hmm. he got stung over 20 times. So
yeah.
Nice negotiating. Yes. I don't know if I'd have done it. I'd have been like, y'all better work on that CGI. Because I can't, even though they put like a piece in his mouth, I still couldn't even imagine.
So they didn't do that because they wanted it to look,
I don't care.
Again, this was back in the 90s, so it wouldn't have looked as real as it would today. They did more of visual, like hands-on effects instead of like doing CGI. Yeah.
It's still, I'm saying me as an actor, because I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And luckily he was down for the cause, but like you or I as an actor, because like when you think about
it. Oh,
like,
no, I'm not doing it.
If somebody walked up to you on the street and was like, hey, I want to pay you $23,000 if you put some bees in your mouth. We'll put a protective covering, but put some bees. Would you do it?
Mm-mm.
No, I couldn't do it. And I'm struggling like a motherfucker. Like I'm struggling in life financially. And I don't think that I could do that. So
but yeah. Same. So Helen, she regains consciousness and she's alone. And she's looking at the walls of the lair and she notices that she's looking at all the paintings on the walls and she sees herself. And it's the image of Candyman's lover, which, what was his name? What is his actual name? Is it Daniel? Because I know I cannot pronounce the last name because it's like Robitaille or something like that. But I cannot remember his first name.
It's Daniel Robitaille. Okay. However you pronounce that. Robitaille.
I think it's Robitaille, but I can't, because that's all I remember is the last name. I was like, I know.
Is it French? Is it Robitaille? Is it French?
I think it's Creole.
Robitaille.
Because of the you sound Irish. Because of the second movie.
Oh, yeah.
Because they explained the whole mirror thing in the second movie.
Yeah.
Because it was basically a spell. She discovers that she is basically the spitting image of the woman. And she stumbles outside, and that's when she hears a baby crying, and it is Anthony. And he is inside of a pile of, like, just trash.
Mm-hmm.
Where that came from, I don't know. I do know where it came from. I'm tripping. Because they were planning on, the residents were planning on burning it down. So they did that.
Yeah. I was like, I think it was they were going to do the bonfire and burn it. Yeah.
When she goes to the pile to rescue Anthony, Jake wakes up and sees her scrambling everywhere with a hook in her hand. So he thinks she's Candyman and he goes to get the other people. And then that's when they come and to burn it down. So they do set it on fire. Helen does get to Anthony, but Candyman appears and he, you know, is trying to stop her from escaping. He's basically like trying to tell her, look, you know, go on and stay in here with me, you know, just, you know, die, basically.
Yep, basically.
And she's like, no. Because he basically, again, his whole motive is to keep his name alive.
Yeah.
And he's saying, you know, that could be her. This could be you, but you playing.
This could be you, but you're playing. I'm trying to make your day.
Sorry. I know. She's like, no, I'm not. No. And she impales him with a piece of like burning wood. And she manages to crawl out with Anthony. And here comes Anne Marie. She sees them and she's like, again, she was...
I wonder
if this was her first role.
I was thinking that because scene was just I know it's not supposed to be funny, but I be cracking up because Helen came out burnt to a crisp.
She was. I didn't want to say nothing because I was like,
burnt to a crisp.
It's not supposed to be funny.
It's not all of her hair singed off. She's burnt to a crisp.
And she came what? Out of there looking like Cynthia. I was like, Lord.
I feel like I'm screaming. Let me simmer down because I feel like I'm so loud. Because I was like, oh my God. Anyway, I'm sorry. But why? Okay, when babies cry, you literally can hear babies. Like, a baby could be in another apartment and I can hear the baby. Mm-hmm. And then babies crying outside. Like, granted, they were in that thing, but it was still outside. So you have like the airflow making the baby cries louder. Why did they not hear the baby crying? That was another thing that
you
bothered me.
You mean the whole time he was there?
Yeah. Well, no, not the whole time. I'll scrap that out. But like, because I feel like maybe that did have something to do with magic or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I think he may have. Because I think the whole time Candyman was taking care of the baby.
Yeah. Kind of like, wait a minute, how the baby's still alive? Yeah. And it's been a couple of... Anyway.
Yeah.
No, so like when Jake mistook her for Candyman, by the time they had walked outside, because it didn't even sound... Well, I mean, they were kind of shouting. But still, to me, they should have been able to hear the baby, because the baby was genuinely like crying pretty loudly, because mm-hmm. she heard it.
Yeah, but I think that was all a part of his plan. So I think the baby, in my opinion, I don't think the baby ever cried the whole time he was there. And then I think because he may have been like in a trance, Candyman might have put him in a trance, and then now he's crying. But I get what you're saying. Why can't they hear him now?
Why
that he's actually crying? Yeah.
They set the thing on fire. Like, I feel like it didn't even have to come to that. Like, that they should have heard the baby crying and been like, wait a minute.
I think maybe they were in a panic because they were thinking Candyman. They wasn't thinking about the baby.
Okay, I'm sorry. Well, the baby's the main... Y'all, don't forget about the baby. But never mind, it's fine.
Yeah, but then, like, they didn't know the baby was actually there, though, the whole time.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying. I would have been like, wait a minute, where's the baby? You hear the baby crying?
Yeah.
I think it was
just a lot of chaos.
That's what I'm going to say, that they maybe were shouting because they were kind of like, we're going to get you, Candyman. They didn't say that, but I'm going to get you, sucker. Go ahead, though.
Lord.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, though. So, yeah, Anne-Marie, she's just, you know, she's happy to have her baby back. And, you know, she's looking at Helen, badly burned, coming out the... crawling Sorry. Out the thing.
Good.
And unfortunately, Helen does die.
Rest in peace, Helen. The character that is
R.I.P.
Helen. That burnt to a crisp on behalf of a black baby. So Helen, she invited to the cookout. If we still having cookouts in 2023, Helen is definitely invited to the cookout.
And see, I wasn't going to say that.
I don't know what
I
you was going to
say. That was my only issue with this movie. Not back then. But
white savior.
Looking at it now, white savior, yeah. That's the only thing. But I will say she was an ally, what you would want an ally to be. So I guess the whole white savior thing doesn't really apply, kind of, but not really.
I think that's like the least of why I didn't mess with this movie. Because like, I think in my mind, like you said, he was out for revenge. And at first, mm-hmm. when I was thinking it was just revenge, and it was just only affecting black people, I was like, I'm not with that. But the fact that Helen ended up dying, I was like, okay, well, technically he got... And if Helen really was what I thought she was, which was a descendant of that lady, mm-hmm. then I'm like, oh, okay. And then he finally got his justice. That's what I was thinking. Not like, oh, white savior. Like, oh, okay. A life for a life.
And then the whole thing, because I know, I remember you mentioning... Why is he going after the black people? But you have to think if we're going with the theory that he is a Tulpa, that's where he died. That's where he stuck. And once his name started getting out there, that's when he was able to go to different places because he's stronger. So he was basically working with what he had, basically.
Got to use
doing
what
the best
I got.
What he had.
I'm going to do the best I can.
And it
with
just
what
so
I
happened
got.
To be Cabrini Green. So yeah, R.I.P. Helen.
R.I.P. Helen. So at Helen's funeral is the next scene. You see Trevor. I believe Stacy's there too, next standing next to his side. Disrespectful. And then there are only a few other mourners. Then suddenly they look up and they see a huge group. It was a lot of people.
It was.
Yeah, it looked like the whole damn project of Cabrini Green. They are marching towards the grave, well, towards the gravesite. And Marie and Jake are at the forefront. They're leading the crowd. And Marie is carrying the baby Anthony triumphantly. Jake takes Candyman's hook out from under his coat and he drops it onto Helen's grave. After the funeral, the next scene, Trevor is shooketh. He is hurt. He and Stacy are at the apartment, and it is the same apartment where him and Helen used to live that they redecorated. Trevor had locked himself in the bathroom, and he is just overcome. He's grieving. Helen, he mumbles Helen's name, and I think, like, at first he was just crying, like, Helen, I miss you, girl. Want to kiss you, girl. But then I think he kind of realizes, oh wait, like, because there's a look on his face, it's kind of like, huh, I wonder if this is, to me it looked like his disposition changed. He was like, I wonder if this could work if I say her name 5 times.
Oh, so, see, I didn't even notice that. That's a
he kind of was like, Helen, and then it kind of turned into like a Helen, like, well, I wonder if this could work. Let me know what y'all think, listeners. I don't know, that's just my thought. Suddenly, Helen, with her new hairdo, appears. Let me get the singed. Appears behind him in a ghostly apparition. She's holding a hook and she guts him. She leaves him in the tub for his new girlfriend, Stacy, to find. And we are to assume that now the legend of Helen has begun. I don't know if it's going to be like a Bonnie and Clyde situation, like, to where it's Helen and Candyman, or if it's just Helen. So, and that is the end of the movie.
Thoughts.
Thoughts.
I was going to ask you this, but I think it's clear, because I was going to say, have your feelings changed at least a little bit towards the movie?
No, they've changed. I think I was more shocked. I think it was more shocking for me that this was like so high on your list. I think that was where I had to be like, wait, if I remember this, and I hadn't seen it in a while, and I was like outside of when we watched it in Georgia, but that was after we had already established that this was one of your favorites, and I was like, no, I can remember watching this as a kid, and it wasn't my first choice, so I think that was what kind of did it for me. But now watching it again, yes, it did. My opinion has changed.
Good. Again, this has a lot to do with it being one of the first horror movies that I've ever seen, as I know for a fact that it was the first movie that I, well, and then technically it wasn't even a movie, it was a TV series, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So there's that. And there's the fact that growing up and looking more into it made me appreciate it even more, because I'm like, okay, now I understand what they were doing, and I understand the whole racial aspect of it and all of that. And again, like I said, this is a movie that I just randomly watch. I have a few things that where if I'm like just bored and it's nothing on, I have nothing to do, I put on either Candyman, Supernatural, or Charmed.
Oh, okay.
And for the culture, because we still don't really have a black horror person, like slasher person, killer. I don't want to say killer, but.
Oh, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Wait, so what's your rating?
Since this is my number one movie, I'm not going to give it a 5, because I don't think any movie is perfect.
Ooh. You've never watched a movie that you thought, like, this was perfect to me. Like, there is nothing else that they could have done. Ooh, if we ever do, when they
clone. I think it's because I'm too nitpicky.
I mean,
I haven't seen Tyrone that yet.
Oh, my God. I might would give that a 5, but we'll see.
So I'm going to give it a 4.7.
That's your highest, right? That you've done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I said I was going to start writing these down. I keep forgetting.
No, I'm going to change that because the only issue I had with it was the whole white savior thing. But now that I look at it, I'm going to give it a 4.8.
Ooh, she went up a point because she died for the baby and that was okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It does hit better as an adult. And also now to know, that he was supposed to instill fear, like that fear that like white people have, or especially like white women have of a certain type of black man. So, and Tony Todd, I couldn't appreciate it as a kid. I could appreciate it as a kid, but like as an adult, I'm like, you know, Tony Todd's all right. He's all right. Like,
yeah, it's
listen.
It's the voice. It's the voice. It's just his whole like
aesthetic.
Yeah.
He be float on the floor, all just float. He don't even walk. He don't even make steps, y'all. He just float. So and I mean, I would recommend, like, if you've never seen this, especially if, and I know blackness is a culture, so there is something. Well, I was gonna say, I know like your blackness is not defined by like how deep into the culture you are. You know what I mean? Like, if you've never seen anything or heard anything or don't like a specific artist or something like that or movie, but I think you should at least watch it. We do have our own culture, so I would recommend it, especially if you are a black person.
And you love horror.
But even if you don't love horror, you know, just got to knock it off your list, your bucket list. My rating, I will have to give it... I'll give it a solid 3. If you want to watch it, I'll watch it with you. If it came on, I don't know that I would watch it by myself, but I will at least add it into a rotation.
Is it because... But see, here's the thing,
I mean,
though.
I've seen it.
I'm saying what I noticed about you. Not saying that you don't like the movie, because... You said you do, but even the fact that you won't even say his name 5 times, that should count for something. The fact that people are literally scared.
I wouldn't say be the big BM either 5 times. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't say that either 5 times. But I get what you're saying. That's what I'm saying. For me, it's a 3 because for me, acting, you know me, like the acting gets for me. Puts it like a little low for me. I don't know. It's just not, I think that it is a good movie. It's just not like a go-to movie for me. And like you said, because you gave Jeepers Creepers a less than a 3. I feel like.
Did I?
Yeah. You gave it like a 2.8 or 9. It's just not like one of my favorites. It's not a go-to movie. Like maybe if it's on, I would watch it, but I think I would turn it. Like, I think it's one of those things that I'm like, okay, I've seen. I can't just like rewatch it, like, because again, rewatchability is high on like how I do my ratings. Like, because
me too,
I'll rewatch something in like, you know, like I'm loyal, so I'm like, oh, I'll rewatch it if I thought it was really good. And this isn't something that I'll just like seek out and rewatch. Now, will I watch it at least once a year? Yes. Halloween comes around, yes, I'm going to add it to my Halloween rotation. So a 3. I'd give it a 3. A solid, a hot, coming in hot. But okay, so you gave it
a 4.8.
A whopping 4.8. And I gave it a 3.0. Let's see what the people saying about. IMDb gives it a 6.7 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes gives that thing a 79%.
Oh. Honestly, I thought it would be lower.
No, they gave it a pretty decent score. And then Google gives it a 3.1. Yeah, so roughly 75% of users likes this movie. Amazon gives it 4.5 stars. So
out of 5?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So, I mean, yeah, the consensus is that it is a good movie. On average, though, you do like it a little bit more than the average person.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if it had, like a recognition, like how, you know, how Spotify does, like, the end of the year, you would be in Candyman's end of the year top watchers.
If you look at, like, those lists, like, top 50 horror villains. He's pretty high up on a lot of those lists. And again, I think it's more of one of those things where it's more, more popular in the Black community.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said before, we still don't have a, because I feel like we're not really considered a lot when it comes to like the horror genre. Because even like with Tim Burton, that kind of like, he kind of like rubbed me the wrong way, even though he doesn't specifically do horror, but he does like, you know, the little creepy aesthetic with his stuff.
Yeah.
And he was asked why there's not a lot of Black people in his like projects. And he was like, well, Black people don't fit my aesthetic. So I feel like a lot of people don't really look at Black people like that in the horror genre. And when they do, they die first. So
that, and then there's like a certain, there's a certain typecasting when it comes mm-hmm. to Black characters. Like if you watch over the years in horror films, the ones that are in there, you either have a sidekick, like someone there to provide a comic relief. You might have like an mm-hmm. angry Black woman or man, like someone militant.
You got the magical Negro.
You have your magical Negro, and then that's about it. Or you just have the Negro in the background that just mm-hmm. is dancing at the prom, or is there to get eaten by a dinosaur.
So yeah, that's it. Good old Candyman.
Good old either El Hombre de Azúcar or El Hombre de Dulce. That one kind of rolled a little bit better off the tongue because you got the two D's back. El Hombre de Dulce.
Yeah, that is all of the hoots.
Please follow us on Instagram at It's a Strange World Podcast, Twitter at Pod Strange World, and on Facebook and TikTok at It's a Strange World After All. Also, if you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and like the show, please go ahead and give us a 5-star rating. And if you're feeling extra strange, please write a review. Please and thank you.
If you have any movies or documentaries of the horror, thriller, slasher, and true crime genre and want to hear our uncensored, unsolicited opinions on them, email those submissions to itsastrangeworldafterall@gmail.com or DM us at any other social media platforms mentioned.
Thank you for tuning into another episode of It's a Strange World After All.
And thank you as always. Well, again, happy birthday, D. And thank you as always. Strange gang, so strong. Y'all lie. Okay. No, I'm just kidding.
Cause you sound like that lady on TikTok.
What lady on TikTok?
That lady that go live acting like a game character. They be making like $7,000 from one live stream.
I mean, shit.
Yes.
I sure will do it. Won't he, willie, for that much. Thank you, as always, Strange Gang, for keeping it extra strange with us. I dare you to say Candyman 5 times tonight. Do it before you go to sleep. Anybody.
You talking to the listeners or?
Everybody.
You do it.
Everybody. Okay.
You do it. Okay.
All right. We'll discuss our findings in the next episode.
If there is.
I don't know. These two girls, they had a good little podcast. Oh, and then man. In the last episode, make somebody famous, child, because they do
a
story on us. Goodbye.
Goodbye.